house. Would you give God glory? Come on, clap your hands. Clap your hands to the Lord and give Him praise. Come on, that's great, but I think He's worthy of more than that. How about you add your voice to it? We worship You, Jesus. We worship You, Jesus. Oh, come on, I think God has healed some bodies here today. I think God has touched some hearts here today already. Praise God. Amen. Why don't you turn to two or three people and say, the power of God is in this house. Come on, tell them. Praise God. I'm so thankful to see everyone here today. Oh, and I'll tell you what, it's just, everybody ought to have my vantage point. Everybody ought to get a glimpse. We may do that some Sunday. Not really. We probably shouldn't do that. But some Sunday, I wish everybody could see what I see. When the Spirit of the Lord is moving across this, and you sweep your eyes across the crowd, and you can see God moving in people's lives, and you can see God touching people's heart. Hey, I'll tell you what, one more time, would you lift your hands? And let's just open up our hearts and say, Lord, we're going to let You move in us today. We're going to let You move in us today, Lord. God, I'm going to forget about all my preconceived notions, and I'm going to forget about everything, all my agenda that I walked in here with. And today, God, I'm just going to open up my heart. I'm going to let You do whatever it is that You want to do. You can heal whatever You want to heal. You can speak whatever You want to speak. You can provide whatever You want to provide today, Jesus. I'm open to it. Come on, tell Him that in your own words, just for a couple minutes. Come on. Anything, Jesus, anything You want to do. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I think we've set ourselves up, man, for God's word to speak to us today. With the worship and with our response to that worship, I think God's got something to say for us today. Why don't you turn to about two or three people? Would you welcome each other? Come on, somebody needs to be loved today. Welcome, at least. Don't get out of your seats, because I know you folks. You'll add 45 minutes to this service. Come on, just two or three people around you. Just let them know. Say, I love you, and Jesus loves you. Tell them. Amen. To all of our guests that are here today, if this is your first time at APC, we welcome you, and here's how we see you today. When you walked in here, at least for the time that you're here, we adopted you as part of our church family. And so we want you to relax and just enjoy the presence of God, enjoy the Word of God. And we're glad you're here today. Would you welcome all of our first-time guests? Man, I'm Pastor Brad, chief troublemaker around here. And I'm going to be out in the foyer after service. I would love to meet you and get to know you a little bit. I'm glad you're here. And to all of you that you came once and you liked it so well you came twice, I told you you'd be back. Amen. And we are glad that you're here with us today also. Why don't you turn with me? I need to talk to you about two scriptures today. First, those of you who got your Bibles, how many of you, the great thing is God gave you multiple fingers, so you can do this. I have confidence in you. I need you to turn to Luke chapter 21 and stick a finger or one of those little black ribbons, if you have those. Stick that there. And then I'm also going to preach you a little bit. I want to set this up for the next two or three weeks. All of what we will look at in the next 3 weeks will be based upon Psalms 103 and 2. Let me just read it. It's a quick scripture. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Anybody ever heard that one? Anybody have any benefits? You have benefits where you work? I remember when I worked a secular job, I had benefits. Those are those advantages. Though unrealized in your bank, it didn't equate to dollars in the bank on payday, but yet it was still measurable, right? How about insurance from your employer? If you have insurance through your employer, many pay some, even if it's got really good insurance, pay none. But your company takes on the rest of your premium. How many of you say, I don't have many benefits, but they do give me a turkey? Come on, raise your hands. Get a ham once a year, right, at the holidays. I heard that there's an employer in town that I am a little bit bitter about, that they deal out, you get free coffee. If you work there, you can just walk up and free coffee. You don't even have to pay for it. I remember when I worked at said employer, which shall remain nameless, I had to pay for every stinking one of my coffees. Yeah. Extra day off. Anybody ever get an extra day off? For this or that, or, man, paid day off. You don't have to work. Come on, somebody praise him. Hallelujah. I remember every year my company would buy, they called it, I'm going to give it away here, they called it Select a Gift. I don't know if they still do that or not. Select a Gift, and they would put out this little catalog, and you got to choose a gift. I had lots of gifts, and what I found out is none of them lasted, but I was thankful for the gift. Everybody say benefit. It's a benefit. It's a cost being paid on your behalf that you don't have to pay. Say benefit. It's a cost that's paid on your behalf that you don't have to pay. It's easy to fall into the trap of measuring our blessings by the state of our current circumstances. In fact, that's what most of us do. You ask somebody, how you doing? What do? You don't take the whole full gamut of your life in. You look at the last 24 hours, right? And you say, well, let me see. It's been interesting. Or I've done better, or I've been better. Rarely do you step back and look at everything. But when you do, maybe your answer changes. But it's on the current circumstance, what you can see, what you can count, what you can currently experience. But here's what we need to understand, that God works in and out of time. His benefits are past, present, and future. And so I want to preach you the next few weeks about the benefits of Thanksgiving, one of my favorite times of year. And I think it's an important time of year. I think it's worth it for us to emphasize our Thanksgiving and gratitude, especially when it comes to what God has done in our lives. So with that understanding, let's look at Luke chapter 21 and 8. Here's what he said. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said, take heed that you be not deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is drawn near. But Jesus said, therefore, do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. For these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. And he said unto them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, he's talking to his disciples. He says, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You guys will be brought before kings and rulers, Jesus said, for my name's sake. But I want to preach this next verse. Listen to what he said. Because that all sounds pretty tough, doesn't it? Would you agree that sounds pretty tough? But then the next verse says, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. In other words, Jesus said, I'll turn it into a testimony. You're going to get into some tough spots simply because of your decision to follow me. But don't you get afraid. Don't you become anxious, because I am in the business of turning the tough into a testimony. I want to preach just for a little while today about the benefit of a testimony. The benefit of a testimony. Would you lay your Bibles down, lift your hands to heaven, and let's talk to the Lord together one more time. Pray that prayer with me one more time. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. There is nothing, God, that I could add to its truth or take away from it. And so, Lord, I pray, God, for revelation. I pray, Lord, in our hearts and our minds that we would receive the word of the Lord, God, and that it would explode into more than just the finite words that come out of my mouth. But Lord, that it would resonate into the hearts and speak to every circumstance and situation in this house. I pray for more than just the preached word, God. I pray, Lord, for a move of your spirit that confirms this word in every heart. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Come on, clap your hands one more time. Let's thank him for his word. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, God. The Lord bless you. You can be seated. You've been standing for a while now. Now, how would you like that for your first day on the job or your job orientation? You walk into your job and the boss says, hey, it's going to be kind of tough. Just want to let you know things are not going to be easy. How would you like it if your boss told you they're going to lay hands on you and they're going to deliver you up to authorities and powers and prisons? You're going to be brought before rulers, and it's not going to be for any other reason but for the fact and because you have accepted this job. How many of you would take that job right there? Amen. And it looked good in the newspaper. It looked good in the posting movie. You show up the first day and said, here's what you got to do. I'm going to tell you what I do. I'd turn around and say, I'm going somewhere else. There's other jobs in this town, right? But Jesus told them it was going to be this way. But then he said, but it's going to turn out for you as an occasion for a testimony. It will look like something that will destroy you, but it'll turn into something that will define you. It will look like something that could turn you around, but actually, if you allow it, it will be something that will push you forward. What looked like trouble and what will look like heartache and what will look like loss, actually, he said, I'm going to turn. It's going to be a public proclamation of God's power in your life. I want to start out here today, and I want to somehow convince you. I want you to be convinced. I want the Spirit to convince you that no matter what trouble comes, that God has the ability to turn it around for his favor. I need somebody, come on, I got a couple of elders there, and I figured you'd be on board. You've been through some tests, and you've been through some trials. Come on, help these youngins out today. You've walked through some trying times. You've walked through some circumstances. You didn't know the way out, and you didn't know what was going to come at the end of it. But when you got to the end, the faithful God that put you on the journey was the faithful God that took you through the journey, and the faithful God that delivered you through the journey. I'm just wanting somebody to realize in your heart of hearts that God is here to deliver a message to you and to tell you that regardless of what you're facing right now in the circumstance that you're living in, that he can turn it. That he can turn it around. That he can take it from one direction and turn it in another. That God has this ability to take something that looks devastating and turn it into a story that brings him glory, that brings you out of that circumstance and sets you in a place of faith where you can believe him for the next time and the next time and the next time and for the rest of your life. I am praying for God to raise up faith in this house, in every single human being, for everybody to be able to stand with the elders and says, you know what? I thought I was facing impossible situations, but that preacher preached a word to me today, and it told me this, that regardless of how impossible it is, the Bible tells me, with God, all things are possible. Oh, come on now. I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It matters who's involved. And when God is involved, somebody say, he can turn it. Look at somebody next to you and say, he can turn it into a testimony. The truth of the matter is, the most intense moments of thankfulness are not found in times of plenty. Let's be honest. But only when difficulties abound and God comes through do we get pretty thankful. In times of plenty, there's a tendency to forget how good things are. But when God shows up in a trial, when God shows up in a hard time, when God shows up in a difficulty, that's when testimonies are born, and they are born powerfully. You think about the holiday we're going into right now with Thanksgiving. The pilgrims, they were the catalyst for all Thanksgiving, everything Thanksgiving. But knowing their history tells us that when they had that first one, half of their number was dead that they showed up with. They were men and women and people, a people without a country, but still they give thanks unto God. Abraham Lincoln formally established the first Thanksgiving Day in the midst of our national civil war, when a butcher's list of casualties seemed to have no end, day in and day out, and the very nation struggled for survival. How do you give thanks in those circumstances? And the Bible tells us, even in Ephesians 5, that we're to give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How? How is that possible? How is it possible? How can things be so bad ever, things being so bad ever equate to things being good? Because when God is involved, there's another source at work. It's not just the source of your difficulty. It's not just the source of this world. It's not just the source of the situation that you're facing. When God is involved, the tables turn. When God is involved, the ratio goes up, and the chance for success is greatly amplified when God's involved. That's why you can't afford, most of us, I had my wife, we were talking about problems, and she said, you know, not everybody has problems, and she's right, but you know what I've noticed? Most people do, and most people are going through a bunch of stuff that you can't see. These two are probably a mess. We don't even know. They look good, but they could be just an absolute mess, and we'd never know it because statistics say that we are battling problems day in and day out. And so I'm trying to raise the chances for you to be happy and for you to get success. I'm here to tell you there is nothing better than God being involved in your life to face the circumstances that you face on an everyday basis. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how you do it without God. I don't know how you face your problems without God, but I do know this. I've learned to trust in Jesus, and when you trust in Jesus, he's worth trusting in. Come on, tell somebody right next to you, he's worth trusting in. When God is involved, here's what Paul said. There's a confidence you can have. To know, Romans 8:28, that all things work together for the good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Jesus told his disciples and said, it's not all going to be roses. It's not all going to be good. You're going to be in a situation where they're going to lay hands on you. You're going to be in a situation where they're going to persecute you. You are going to have tough times. And it's all going to be because of your decision to follow me. And I don't want to make anybody upset. I don't want to depress anybody. But let me just tell you, when you start following Jesus, you've got some automatic adversaries. The Bible says the devil is an adversary. He's like a roaring lion, walking about, seeking to and fro, anywhere he can, seeing who he can devour. But Jesus told him, he said, don't you be upset by those that are trying to destroy you. Don't be upset by those that are trying to lay hands. Don't be upset by your circumstances or your tough times. It will turn out for you as an occasion for a testimony. That was a promise, I believe, to them and a promise to you. Today, I'm going to preach to you what Jesus preached to them. Don't you get upset about the difficulties that you're facing right now. Hear this, preacher. God intends to turn it into a testimony for you and your life. Somebody say amen. Amen. It'll turn. But then he goes on and says, therefore, settle it in your hearts. Not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. He said, get this settled in your heart. Stop trying to plan your way out of this. Settle the matter in your heart, not to figure it out. I know that sounds crazy because we're supposed to solve problems, right? When problems come, we're supposed to solve them. But Jesus told them, he said, don't worry about those problems that come because you're serving me. Don't worry about those. Don't try to figure out. Settle in your heart not to try and outmaneuver the trouble. Settle in your heart not to give up and lay down because you're facing adversity. Settled in your heart that the reality of my difficulty in my life is just another opportunity for the confirmation of God's glory in my life. So when Jesus involved, as crazy as it sounds, we can stand with Paul, what he said in Romans 5, when he said, we glory in tribulations. That is insane, isn't it? Paul said, I rejoice in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works patience. And patience works experience. And experience works hope. And I can't get to hope unless I am willing to have patience and tribulation and let those two things put me through an experience. I don't know about you, but I try to avoid those negative experiences. It is my natural tendency to try to get somewhere else besides negative experiences in my life. I want to solve it. I want to go around it. I want to eliminate it. But you got to understand something. There's things born in those negative experiences that cannot be born anywhere else. They're not going to be born in times of plenty and times of wellness. There are certain things that only adversity is going to bring into your spiritual life. And so Jesus said, look, you got to understand, you got to glory in that. Paul said, I'll glory in those tribulations because hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which was given unto us. The problem is we're not patient enough for the experience to show up or the experience to finish. We're going to find our way out of this one way or another. But I'm preaching to somebody. I don't know who it is today. It's me, okay? I'm preaching to me. Brad, you cannot circumvent the experience that God allows into your life. Not every experience can you walk around or avoid. You're not going to find the answer to every problem in your life because some problems were meant to breed hope into your life. Some problems were meant to bring thanksgiving into your life. If somebody hearing me, I'm telling you, you've got to settle it in your heart. Somebody say settle. No, we'd rather avoid all of it. Right? Anybody with me? I'd rather it be smooth. Thank you, Eric. You're the one guy nodding. Me and Eric, we want things smooth. We want things easy. Anybody want stuff easy? If you had your choice, don't you want easy? Wants things smooth. I want things easy. But Jesus is telling his disciples, value the process of trouble, especially when it comes just because you're following me. In other words, Jesus said, don't waste hard times. Let patience work that experience to become a hope of a testimony in your life. Because Paul goes on to say that hope maketh not ashamed. That's King James Version. Other versions will tell you this, that hope in Christ never disappoints. That somebody ought to be able to say amen right there. Anybody that's ever had hope in Christ should know that that hope never disappoints. Just as God had the power to give hope for your salvation, he has the power to give hope in every one of your situations. He plans to turn it for your good. So settle your hearts today. There's a benefit to becoming part of the kingdom of God. And one of them is the benefit of testimonies that God breathes in you. Because God turns trouble into testimonies. Somebody say settle. Look, somebody next to you say settle your heart. Settle it in your heart today that you have a story to tell. You have a story to tell. You know what Jesus was saying to them effectively? And Darren, I'm paraphrasing. Jesus was saying, I'll be the author. You read the story. I'll write the script. You walk the steps. Because thanksgiving is an attitude that cannot remain silent. Let me say it again. It might slip past you. Thanksgiving is an attitude that can't remain silent. That's why the psalmist said that I may publish with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous work. Even the word thanksgiving in the Hebrew lends itself here to proclaiming and speaking and even singing a song. It's not an action of the hands, or it's not an action of the feet or the body. It is an action of the voice, because it's really hard to stay silent once your heart gets settled on Jesus. I said it's hard to stay silent when your heart is settled on Jesus, because what looks like trouble and what looks like heartache and what looks like loss becomes a public proclamation of God's power and his kingdom. Thanksgiving is a testimony. I said thanksgiving is a testimony. It is the outward expression of what God has done for you. You define testimony, it's a statement confirming a fact or a truth. It's evidence presented to the world around you of God's handiwork in your life. Somebody say testimony. Now, when I was growing up, we had, as part of our service, we had a testimony service. Listen, all these elders saying, come on. And if you're not familiar with that, that's where a segment of the service, there's usually a testimony leader, which was just arbitrarily picked out of the crowd. Somebody, whoever the pastor thought needed it the most, you know. Pick them out of the crowd and say, you're going to lead testimony service. And they get up here and they give their testimony. And then they would open the floor, and it was open mic night at church. And anybody could say anything they wanted to. And come on, somebody, they did. Yeah, they did. So, yeah, you had a few crazy people that said stuff like, oh, my Lord, how, what in the world? But for every crazy, there was about five other people that would get up and tell about the goodness of the Lord. They'd get up and tell how great God had been to them. They'd get up and tell how God had healed their body and how God had taken them through trouble, how God had grown them through circumstances. And it wasn't just one that got the glory for it or one that got the benefit from it, but we shared the benefit of our testimony with one another. Sometimes it was hard to walk out of that testimony, even with the crazies, without being encouraged and lifted up, because testimonies of God's power are powerful. That's right. You know what? Then we got kind of bored. We started getting creative, and we'd do this little bless me game. Anybody remember the bless me game? Or the bless you game? That's when you would say, so the leader would get really creative. He'd get up and he'd say, okay, here's what we're going to do. When you get done testify, you bless someone else in the congregation, and then they have to stand up and testify. I watch people run from blessing. I mean, out the back door. Now, let me tell you something. Good or bad, you go ahead and make your judgment call on that. Good or bad, I'm going to tell you what it forced us to do. It forced us to think on a regular basis of how good God had been to us. Because you didn't know if Sister Fanny was going to get up and play the bless you game. So you went to church with a praise on your heart and a praise on your lip. What am I going to testify to? I know I was there. I know how I felt. I knew I prepared in advance. I got to praise it for something else this week. And you could say, oh, that sounds like ritual. That sounds like praise and thanksgiving to me. I wish we could do something to force us to think about how good God. Maybe we don't do it here, but maybe you get home and you say, honey, when you get up in the morning, I want you to testify to me and tell me how good God's been to you. Maybe if there was an expectation, well, guess what? There is. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Come on, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Somebody say testify. It forced us to talk about his goodness and his healing and his provision and his revelation. And as Jesus promises that his disciples that day, you will have a story to tell. I don't know if you know this or not, but you're working on a story right now. I said, you're working on a story right now. God's working on a testimony in your life right now. I just thought that was circumstance. I just thought that was just something that blew in and it had no meaning. Let me tell you something. God will take everything that walks into your life and he'll put purpose and meaning behind it and he'll turn it for his glory. Come on, somebody. You got to understand, you got a testimony that's brewing in you. You got a testimony that's birthing in you. You got to settle in your heart. You got a story to tell. And everybody say settle. You got to settle in your heart that your testimony never stops developing. I know some of you are thinking, I wish this one would get over. Come on now. I wish this one, I'd like to tell a new story, Lord, please. But your testimony never stops developing. I remember going up to somebody at church one time. And ask him what we ask each other. Hey, how you doing? How's things going? And I'll never forget the response. The individual said, well, I'm working on a testimony. They could have said, not so good. They could have said, could be better. Could have said, how much time you got? Come on, you got all those phrases, right? But instead it said, well, suffice it to say, I can't say that everything's worked out. I can't say that I know the end from the beginning. I can't say that I know how God's going to work this out. All I'll tell you is I'm working on a testimony. You know what that was? It was a statement of faith, a statement that says, I can't see it yet, but I still believe it's out there. I can't realize it yet, but I still believe it's coming. I don't have an answer yet, but I believe that it's in the heaven. The Lord is there and he's got an answer. Come on, I need somebody to testify of that right now. I know what it's like to walk through the middle of something and not know the end of it, but I still believe there's a God that's at the end. Come on, Job said, I've looked at the right, I can't find him. I looked at the left, I can't find him, but I know he's there. He knows the way that I take. Amen. Amen. Settle it in your heart that this testimony is still developing. You know why testimonies never stop? First of all, because there's a grander story than just the circumstance that you're in. Most of the time, you're just in a chapter. And I hate to depress anybody, you may just be in a paragraph. And if that's not low enough, you may just be in a sentence. And some of you just got a word out. There's a bigger story. Everybody say bigger. Bigger story that God has written. But you know the other reason why testimonies never stop growing is because tests don't ever stop coming. Anybody amen me with that right there? I mean, I'll amen me. It seems like once I get through one, there's another lined up. Every time I jump this hurdle, I realize I'm in a race of hurdles, and there's another one coming at me. There's a scripture I read this week. It just gripped me. It's from Colossians, Paul. I'm with Paul today. Paul in Colossians 2 and 6, he says, as you have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. How is that? Rooted and built up in him. Established in the faith as you have been taught. And then that last phrase, here's what grabbed me. Abounding therein, talking about being walking in him, abounding therein with thanksgiving. When anyone comes to Christ, when you repent of your sins, when you're water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, when you obey the gospel and you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when you come to him, they believe God can do it for them before they see it done. Before they see the effects of repentance, they decide to repent. Am I with me? Before they see the effects of water baptism and their sins being remitted from them, they decide it's worth it and they do it before they see the action and the results of it. Come on, you with me? Before they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they believe that God's got it to give and it's for them. They haven't seen it yet, but they believe it's there. Somebody say amen. So Jesus said, just like you receive salvation, walk like that. Here's what he means. You got to believe he can before he does. That was like my biggest point. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 7 that the story of a centurion, anybody remember that story? The story of a centurion that came and he had this sick servant. He said, "Lord, listen, I've got a miracle that needs to happen in my house." And he sends somebody to get a hold of him. And when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, "Lord, do not trouble yourself. I heard you were coming here, but don't trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter underneath my roof. Wherefore neither thought I self worthy to come unto thee." But here's what he said. He said, "But if you will say in a word, I know my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. I say go and they go. I say come and they come. And do this and he does it." And here's what I believe. I believe there's enough authority in you for you to do it before I've ever seen you do anything. And Jesus, his comment and reaction to that was, the Bible says that he marveled at him. I think somebody has the ability today to amaze God with your faith, to believe in him before you see the end result, to believe in him before everything has come to pass, before you get out of the trouble and say, "Look, I can't tell you everything that's going to happen, but I'm in the middle of a testimony that's being developed. I'm in the middle of a testimony that God is writing the script to." I want you to stand with me here this morning. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Don't forget his benefits. You can't forget the benefit of a testimony. You can't short circuit what God is trying to turn for you. I know it seems better. It seems better that you would just avoid it. It seems better that you would just get a magic answer to this problem. It seems better. But the truth of the matter is, there are some experiences that God is trying to work your patience in, because that experience is going to bring hope. Hope to you for sure, but also hope to everybody around that hears the testimony of what God has done in your life. There's nothing more powerful. I thank God for every word in this book. I thank God for everything that's here. But I'm telling you, one of the most powerful witnesses of Jesus Christ in this earth is what he does in you. And when people see what he has done in you, then many times they will give attention to what he can do and wants to do in them. I wonder today if somebody, maybe your perspective has changed a little bit. Maybe you thought that mess that you're going through, oh man, it was just nothing more than a problem. It was nothing more than just something I had to endure. Maybe you could change and said, "You know what? I'm going to change my mind. He's working all things for the good to them that love him or called to according to his purpose. I'm not walking through a devastating time. I'm walking through a destiny that's going to take me to a testimony that's going to be more powerful than any of the circumstances that I'm facing now." You're going to stop believing the lies of hell that say the circumstance in front of you somehow is more powerful than the God that is over you. The devil is a liar. You can't forget the benefit of a testimony. I wonder if you'd slip out of your seat today and you'd come down in front and do an altar prayer. Come on, bring it. Bring the problems, bring the struggles. Come on and come to a place of patience. Come to a place where the experience is lived out, where you turn everything to him. And in turning to him, he turns it for you. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray all over this house.
God today, the same God tomorrow.